Hello, and welcome to this episode of BTS by the Book, a podcast that explores BTS through books about BTS, one chapter at a time. I'm your host, as always, the BTS bookworm, quotation marks around that. I'm a university librarian who lives in America, and I use the BTS bookworm name, nickname, because I feel it's a perfect description of my relationship with BTS from the very beginning, or within a day or two of the very beginning, after discovering them through their music and just a few of their songs. I quickly turned to books about BTS, and like so many Americans, I only do English. I cannot read Korean or other languages, so I'm limited to some extent to books that have either been translated into English or books that were originally in English. And I realize there aren't dozens and dozens of books about BTS, not yet anyway, but the ones I'll be focusing on are obviously in English and either entirely or mostly about the group BTS. The weekly plan for this podcast is to consider one chapter or a chapter's worth of information. You know, some books have 5 to 7 page chapters, and that's not hardly enough to fill a podcast episode, so on occasion I might lump a couple of chapters together and call it a chapter's worth. And I attempt to provide both overview of the chapter and review. And sometimes it gets mixed up throughout the podcast instead of it consisting of two distinct parts. And I try to tackle books in a rotating fashion, never looking at the same title in consecutive weeks. So the book we're looking at today, we will not look at next week. It'll be close to a month and a half to 2 months before we get back to that book. And I do that out of respect for the authors and for no other reason. I do it out of respect for copyright. I want authors to know that I'm on their side, and I'm not trying in any way to take away from what they've done and the books they've, you know, brought to life. But instead, I'm trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to shine the light on their books so that people will go out and buy them. That would be great, because most of these books, I'm not saying they don't have flaws, but certainly no flaws that are so severe, in my opinion, that you shouldn't consider getting a copy of the book. And if I ever do have concerns that are that large to say, I don't know if I could recommend this book, I will tell you that. But I tend to let chapters stand on their own. And that can be frustrating from time to time, but I like to look at a chapter and just let it speak for itself and without a lot of attention to chapters that precede it or follow it. I always try to share a little bit about the intent or the purpose of the book by looking at a few lines from the book's preface or introduction, and I definitely want to do that today because, you know, if you don't have the book in your own hands, it can be frustrating not knowing what the author was intending by writing the book. And so I'll definitely remember to do that for this episode. The book we're considering today is called Map of the Soul 7, which should be a title that's very familiar to most of you. The subtitle of the book is Persona, Shadow, and Ego in the World of BTS. This is written primarily by Murray Stein, with the help of two people, Stephen Booser and Leonard Cruz. I hope I'm pronouncing those names correctly. This is a 2020 title from Chiron, Chiron Publications, based in North Carolina, here in America. The book is 2 pages shy of being 200 pages in length. And this is not a book with photos, pictures. So that's a lot of content. That's a lot of substance, which is what drew me to the book initially. Murray Stein is a PhD professor type of person. Don't ask me if he's currently teaching anywhere right now, but he definitely has his PhD, got a lot of credentials to talk about things such as psychology. He seems to specialize in what could be called Jungian psychology. That's spelled J-U-N-G. And the person being referred to in that expression is Carl Jung, a German psychologist who did most of his professional work in the first half of the 20th century. Well, Dr. Stein obviously sees a lot of Jungian influences in BTS's Map of the Soul 7 album, which is why this book exists. because, you know, obviously, Dr. Stein is a huge fan of BTS. I could get that. But I think a lot of that love and appreciation he has for BTS is how deep and meaningful their music is, especially when you can compare it to some deep philosophical, psychological thought, like the kind that Dr. Jung produced decades ago. I want to read 2 paragraphs from the preface of the book. There's no introduction as much as a preface here. And so to give you some context for where we're going, we're going to be looking at chapter 2 of the book today. But I don't want to just drop us into that chapter without reading what Dr. Stein was trying to do with this book. He says, first paragraph in the preface, the title of BTS's latest album, Map of the Soul 7, sticks to the mind because it is suggestive and enigmatic. It came as a surprise to many fans. Expected was an album that would follow upon Map of the Soul Persona, with songs about shadow or ego. The new album does indeed include songs with these themes, but it is more complex and broader in vision than expected. The number 7 suggests a mystery, and this catches the mind's attention and stays there because this number is symbolically significant. One wants to know more. What does this number mean in relation to the idea of a map of the soul? In the pages that follow, I attempt to understand something about this mystery, and I hope the reader will be incited to continue thinking about it as well. A little backstory. I am no Jungian expert at all. Barely know some of the major concepts that Jung is known for. But one of the biggest has to do with his psychological personality, archetypes, 4 of them. They're commonly referred to as, this is 4, the self, persona, shadow, and animus. Ego can be a replacement type term for the self, but certainly 3 of those, the self, persona, and shadow, are to be found without any kind of doubt in the lyrics and songs of this album, Map of the Soul 7. So that is why Jung has endeavored to write a book like this. Here's the other quote from the preface right at the end. Quote, as a Jungian psychoanalyst of another generation, I applaud the teaching BTS is offering to the new generation entering into the presently bewildering world of adulthood. When you stand on the threshold of a new land, it is useful to have a map as your guide. The great psychologist of the 20th century, Carl Jung, created a map of the soul that many people in his time found more than a little helpful, even life-saving. It is even more so, I believe, for people in the 21st century because of its depth of understanding, this territory that we call the human psyche. Armed with his map, people are better able to find their way successfully through life's journey. Today, BTS is putting this map into the hands of its fans. For this great service, I am personally very grateful. That was a lot to read, and I never like to read such extended quotes from a book without the author's specific blessing for me to do so. But, like I said, I wanted to give you enough context to understand what's going on in chapter 2 of this book. This chapter is 44 pages long. And like I said, no photos to break up the text or anything like that. There are a couple of illustrations, kind of hand-drawn almost, black and white, simple things, but no photos certainly of the group. And so that's a lot of material here in chapter 2, 44 pages. Now, I will say the pages aren't dense with text. There's an ample margin around the text, and the line spacing isn't too tight, and especially between paragraphs. So it's not like you might envision an academic text. It's certainly lighter than that, but still, 40-plus pages. Now, that's a lot. And the focus of chapter 2, here's the title of it, Reflections on the Lyrics of BTS's Map of the Soul 7. And this is a chapter by Murray Stein himself. And, he has some collaborators on this work, and they take turns writing some of the chapters, but Stein is responsible for this chapter. And the chapter starts with a statement that because of the way it's stated, I tend to believe it's the validity of it, but I have not looked into it myself. It's one of those times when I was hoping for a footnote or some kind of reference so I could track it down easily, but the statement is this, I quote, it is well known that BTS's concept of Map of the Soul is based on Dr. Murray Stein's writing. So this is the guy writing this book, for the most part, specifically this chapter. And so that's a pretty bold statement, and it's so bold, I don't imagine he would say it in a world where people could check on that fairly quickly, unless there was some truth to it. And I apologize for not having some evidential data with me to prove that. But like I said, I'm leaning in the direction heavily of that being definitely the case, or he would not have said it. Now, the chapter does get to the tracks of Map of the Soul 7 fairly quickly. But before he gets there, he devotes 2.5 pages to two thematic categories that I believe he sees in the album. The first of the two is, he calls Suffering and BTS. Oh, map. The entire title is Map of the Soul 7, comma, Suffering, comma, and BTS. So the thing, this is theme one that he sees in the album. It ties a lot of songs together, and one of the things I appreciate about this thematic section is the point Dr. Stein makes about what it is not just what it is that people like and appreciate about BTS, but what helps them stand out, what sets them apart, not just from other K-pop groups, but from just groups in general. And it's this deeper nature that BTS just seems to gravitate towards. There's a deeper nature that is revealed, according to Stein, through BTS's music. And not every group does that. Certainly not every K-pop group does that. And maybe some of the ones who are around today who might be experimenting more with that, they're probably taking a cue, I would imagine, from BTS, you know, after seeing them do it successfully. There's a quote here I want to read. It could be considered one of my favorite quotes from the whole chapter. I quote, BTS is saying, "We are human beings behind this entertainment facade. It's a mask. We're real people. We have a history. We have struggles. We've suffered." This message comes through in this album loud and clear. And I as one of many fans of BTS, don't we appreciate the realness, the glimpses of the realness we experience through the music of BTS? They allow us to take a peek at that, their real selves, and that's great. And I really appreciate that observation by Dr. Stein. And the second theme is gets more attention. It's a couple of pages long here, and he calls it BTS, comma, rebirth and transformation. The first reference to Jung that I found in this chapter pops up right here, and the concept from Jung that Stein is addressing here is called the individuation process. And it does involve not just growing old per se, but kind of, well, as people age, mature, there's an identity that along the way most people will shed in order to take on a new person, a new identity, which I suppose a psychologist would say that's all a part of the natural maturation process. And Stein makes the point that BTS as a group, not just as individuals, but as a group, they're doing this too. And maybe they've done this multiple times already. They've shed one identity to take on another one. And there's a statement in this section that this comes up multiple times. You know, BTS, they know, everybody knows this, although we don't like to even think about it, I think, as fans, but they know that their time will come to an end as a group. All groups come to an end, period. And they will too, and maybe they understand that's coming fairly soon, at least when you consider, you know, all the history of humankind, certainly that time frame, it's going to come fairly soon, and that's all a part of this process they are going through, and those flavors, those thematic flavors pop up time and again in certain songs on this album. After those two thematic things are explored, we have approximately four pages covering songs that were not on the album Map of the Soul 7. And here's the way Stein brings them under this umbrella. I want to let him say it in his own words. Quote, there are two songs that were released on the initial extended play, Map of the Soul Persona, that were left off the official track list for the final album, Map of the Soul 7. I begin the analysis of this album by considering these two songs, Microcosmos and Home, before proceeding to the official track list. Now, of course, I was excited to see this because Microcosmos, if I'm pronouncing that right, is one of my all-time favorite BTS songs. And I know it's near and dear to BTS. They seem to include it towards the end or at the very end of every one of their concerts that I've seen, anyway, recent concerts. But I was glad he included this here. I believe one reason he included Microcosmos is because of how much there is to dialogue with when it comes to Jungian thought, Jungian theories. And he very quickly starts with this section with a quote from Jung himself, and I don't have the source, do I? Yes, it's Memories, Dreams, Reflections, his 1989 work. And the quote reads, this is Jung, I had a wonderful dream in my illness. I dreamt that I saw a star in a pool of water, and I realized that I am the microcosm reflected in the pool of the unconscious. That is the macrocosm. And I'll stop there, although the quote does continue, but we get that two important aspects of the song, star, and the light it represents, and then microcosm, of course. And so there are three pages devoted to microcosmos. And Jung isn't the only psychologist referred to in this section. Well, let me be more specific. He's not the only kind of scholar referred to here. Leibniz, a German philosopher from the 17th century, is mentioned in the middle here. And from what I can tell, Dr. Stein does bring in the occasional non-Jungian voice from time to time as he sees fit. But one of my favorite lines from this section is this quote, you have a sense of worth that comes from within yourself that's not dependent on the reflections of other people. And Stein definitely appreciates that message found in Microcosmos. And I don't want to deal with other chapters from this book. I want to stick with this chapter, but the psychological content that Stein is very quick to share shows a nice balance between dry academic and ultra light-hearted fun. It's just kind of moderate. And what I mean by that is it's very readable. It's not very long-winded. It's the expression. Even if you aren't appreciating when you're reading it, you don't have to read it very long. It might only be two or three paragraphs, and it's done. And there are stretches in this book, but it's only a couple, three paragraphs where you may feel like the author has lost the connection with the BTS and is focusing more on just one of his favorite psychologists, you know, who's undoubtedly Jung. But that doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen from time to time. And I felt that when I was reading the section devoted to Microcosmos. There were three pages devoted to that, and only one devoted to the song Home. And I want to stop and say I've definitely observed in this chapter, time and again, that although Stein felt obligated to talk about every track on the album. Obviously, some tracks don't have hardly anything to say regarding Jungian psychology or anything especially deep or meaningful. And there's a spectrum, represented in the album. There are a lot of songs, by the way, to choose from, and some have clear-cut, strong, you can just tell that those responsible for creating the lyrics, they seem to have Jung or someone like that in the back of their mind the entire time. But then there were others that wasn't obvious at all. And Jung, he doesn't skip those songs altogether, but he doesn't give a lot of attention to them. He saves most of his language, his text, for the songs where those connections are especially strong. But he never skips something and altogether and says, "Oh, we're just going to skip this for the sake of time." He does say something about every track, but he does talk about home a little bit. He doesn't make any connections to Jung. He just talks about the importance of Mikasa, one's true home, and every member of BTS has a true home. The focus of the song seems to suggest that although you might have a type of home, just like the BTS members might have a type of home when they're in their shared dormitory or in their apartments, but it's that home where their family might be that is their true home, their casa, to use that Spanish term that the song does. And then it was, when Stein makes comments like that, even if there's no connection to Jung or some prominent psychologist or philosopher, it's still enjoyable and interesting reading, in my opinion. I found that helpful. I don't mind admitting to you listeners that I don't typically break down songs when I listen to them. BTS songs. The most I might do is find English translations, good ones, of some of their Korean or maybe their Japanese lyrics, but I don't analyze those lyrics much. Does that make sense? I read them without a research or academic or librarian hat on. I just read them to understand kind of what they're saying on a fairly surface level. And so one of the things I think a lot of people will appreciate, if you're like me, about this book is, Dr. Stein obviously took a deep dive with these songs and went way below the surface, and we're just kind of eavesdropping on what he observed when he did this deep dive. And sometimes the dive had a lot of Jungian influence and ties, and then other times it just didn't. But we still get a professional kind of psychologist perspective on most every track on the album. The first track mentioned on page 27, and this is will represent the remainder of the chapter, going through one track after another until the very end. And the first track, Intro Persona, Stein devotes 3.5 pages to. Now, I will say, I expected before reading this chapter that there would be more lyrics, in English, but anyway, lyrics shared. It would have been nice to have some of it, more of it there, so I wouldn't have to refer to those lyrics somewhere else. But maybe he did this deliberately. It seems like he avoided over-quoting from the lyrics of the songs. And maybe he did that out of respect for copyright. I don't know. But there's just not a lot here. He's very frugal, if you're familiar with that word, with his quotations of the BTS lyrics. And so really, until the very end of these 3.5 pages, you hardly see any quotes whatsoever from the song. And that's just a four-word quote, and then followed by another four-word quote. There's just not a lot here. But Persona would be, if I'm not mistaken, the equivalent of ego in Jung's personality categories. And so that's what the album starts with. And there's a lot of focus on RM, obviously, for that track. Track number 2, Boy with Love, receives 2.5 pages of attention. And this is, I could tell, well, with track number 1, I could tell that the author found a lot of connections with Jungian categories and thought. So he spent a lot of time with it. Boy with Love, he didn't find many, at least it wasn't obvious to me, he found many connections with Jung. But you could tell he really liked the song. 2.5 pages were devoted to Boy with Love. He has a lot of interesting things to say about Boy with Love, especially when it was in comparison to an earlier song. And you probably know the song, Boy in Love. Now, Boy in Love and Boy with Love, two of my favorite songs, very different songs. And so I was glad, if you're like me and you like both those songs, you'll be glad to hear what Stein has to say about the two songs in comparison. You know, I never stopped to think about the difference between someone being in love and someone being with love. And I want to read one quote that sums this up well. Here's the quote, page 32. The title of the song is Boy with Love. There's a huge difference between being a boy with love and being a boy in love. If you're in love, you are possessed by an emotion and a projection of the beloved onto somebody else. You are helpless. Your ego is a slave to that emotion. People do all kinds of crazy things when they're in love. If you're with love, on the other hand, you're much more in control. You're with it. You're not in it. You bring it with you. You bring your love to the other whom you are casting your eye upon. This implies a more mature ego. An immature ego will be head over heels in love. A more mature, experienced person will be a person with love. Being with love is a much less manipulative stance. Psychologically, it's a more advanced state. And obviously, it's not hard to understand what Stein is saying. Not only ought people, you know, mature from being in love to more with love, but there's this maturity people have seen in the group BTS. You know, when they wrote "Boy in Love," they were much younger. And they've matured quite a bit, and so you see that maturity here when comparing these two songs. One of the concepts that Jung mentions in his archetypes of personality is the animus. Please don't ask me to explain that because I am no Jungian expert. But that concept is brought up here. And if I'm not mistaken, only here in this entire chapter. There's some speculation about why an American woman like Halsey was chosen to play this role in this song. that she played. And there's a statement here where Stein he's just kind of supposing or thinking out loud. He says, "I think that for Koreans, it could be that the American woman is a suitable projection carrier for their anima." That's capital A-N-I-M-A. They project their unconscious anima onto an American woman and find their soul figure there. That's an interesting statement. You know, there's no way to prove anything like that. It's just something he's, like I said, I think he's just thinking out loud, giving the reader something to think about, consider. But that's 2.5 pages. So we have a 3.5 page section on persona, 2.5 pages. Boy It With Love, and then we have track 3, Make It Right. It only receives 1.5 pages. And we're going to see this theme over and over again. If there's less to work with for a song from this Jungian or this, you know, PhD psychological perspective, then there's just not going to be as much content. 1.5 pages, you know, that's a decent amount, though. And I'm a huge fan of the song Make It Right. I'll just tell you right now, when I read what he had to say about it, if you had crossed through or covered up with black ink or white out the references to that song in this section, I would have no clue what song he was talking about. Because when I read this and what Stein has to say, when I'm listening to the song, just enjoying it, again, not taking it apart, not analyzing it or anything, I would not have made these connections whatsoever. And maybe it's with what he's saying here, and I'm going to let y'all hopefully get your hands on this and read it yourself to see if you agree. And that brings us to track 4. Yamai Vu. I don't speak French, so but there's approximately 3 pages here. So there, you know, I could tell that Dr. Stein really appreciated this song. He had a lot to say about it. That does not mean that he gives hardly any attention to anything Jungian here. Okay. But as a psychologist, he sees all sorts of other things, not just Jungian, but other things. He starts off with talking about the expression we're familiar with, probably deja vu, you know, experiencing something, feeling like you've experienced something before. But there's the opposite, this yame vu. It's being in a very familiar place where you should have that feeling of familiarity, but you don't. You forget you've ever been there. And this song, according to the author, deals with that. And it deals with repeating things over and over again, but not learning from that experience like you would normally. And there are just a couple quotes in here from the song, not a lot. He makes the quote, "It always hurts like it's the first time." He uses another line, "I stumble again, I continue running and I stumble again, I won't give up." But that's about the extent of it. That brings us to track 5, which gets 2 pages of attention, Dionysus. Now, I have appreciated the song, but not as much as a lot of people. I know there are a lot of huge fans of this song, and it's always a big deal on stage, from what I recall. I was not very familiar with the Dionysus myth, and if you're like me and don't know a lot about that, I know you could find info about it somewhere besides here, but I really appreciated the backstory of Dionysus and who he was, this ancient god, you know, lowercase g, in the Greek mythology, and how he figures in. And no talk that I recall about Jung in this section, but I did find that the content shared here helped me appreciate the song more. Just knowing what was going on, and you could tell. I mean, once I read this, I could tell that BTS was obviously very familiar with that story, and were using it in a very particular way. And I did find that helpful. Who wouldn't find something helpful if it helped you appreciate even one BTS song more than you already did? And so for that reason, I definitely appreciate it. The track 6, Somewhere in the Middle, gets the most attention compared to any other track in this chapter. This is the interlude Shadow track, almost 6 pages. And you could just tell Stein was ready to talk about this archetype that Jung identified in his psychological theory. And there are a number of lyrics shared here. More lyrics shared, quotes from the song than pretty much any other one in this chapter. And I want to share a couple of quotes here. It's hard to decide. One of my favorite quotes is in this section. Here's one. Sometimes, though, you might stop and take a deeper look within and see that behind your persona and your ego consciousness, there lurks a dark figure, which we speak of as the shadow. Another quote, following page. In this album, BTS is singing about the dark side, the shadow. The shadow is the other side of love. It houses our greed and ambition and lust for power over others. And, you know, through songs like this, BTS seems to say, we're not above all of this. We have that same shadow. We have that same dark side as anyone else, and we struggle to fight against it, just like hopefully other people will. And I like this quote. I have a star by it. It's one of my favorites in the chapter. Interlude Shadow is about becoming conscious of the shadow in an honest and straightforward way. Suga becomes aware of his shadow desires, and he opens a dialogue with them. In the last part of the piece, there's a conversation between Suga and his shadow. And I'm a huge fan of Suga. And this is a, which is one reason I really appreciate that. There are several times in this chapter where Dr. Stein will refer not just to the lyrics of a song, but to the video component of the song, because in the video there might be some imagery that seems to be there in a deliberate way to convey some of these ideas, maybe Jungian ideas like the shadow. And there's some talk here, a couple paragraphs worth of the video version of the song. One other quote in this section. Great success breeds great anxiety. The richer you become, the more you fear poverty. I appreciated that observation from the song. One last quote. I'm sorry, there's so much here. Again, it's 6 pages worth. What we get in this song is a picture of ambition and success. It's a message that says, when you're in the world and working hard, you want to rise. But ambition also activates the shadow side of ego striving upward. And no doubt that BTS, individual members and as a group, probably has struggled to resist all of that. That brings us to track 7. Which doesn't get as much attention as I thought it might. Just when I read this for the first time, I thought there might be more than 1.5 pages, but that's all that's mentioned here. The author does seem to appreciate the song, just doesn't have a lot to say about the psychology underlying the song. And so I got sad hearing this, but it's worth considering. It's a quote, page 46. When dancers' bodies give out, which often happens relatively early in their life's meaning can suddenly evaporate. BTS is anticipating this moment when the group will inevitably fall apart and the members will stop performing. This will be their first death and the most painful of deaths. One sentence later, he says, the song is a realization that all things will end. And obviously that's a heavy thought, isn't it? But it made me appreciate, just like with Dionysus earlier, made me appreciate the song even more. Assuming he's right, and assuming he's on the right track with this sentiment. And I feel like, I honestly feel like he is. Track 8, Filter, gets barely a page. This is Jimin's solo song, in which he asks, which of me do you want? That's a quote from the song. Not a lot of talk, really. Nothing truly substantive there from a psychological angle. No reference to Jung. For example, the next track, My Time, track 9, receives 1.5 pages. Jungkook is the focus of that song. And it helped me, this is another section, although small, helped me appreciate the song more. The quote here from the song in English is, it feels as if, this is Jungkook singing, it feels as if I became an adult quicker than anyone, and there are traces of what I missed. Am I living this right? And it definitely helps you connect more with Jungkook and his unique perspective as the youngest member of the group. Track 10, there's another one coming up later that receives only one paragraph. And I really got the sense, this is Louder Than Bombs. I just felt like the author, as I said earlier, didn't want to skip anything. You know, he's focusing on this album as a whole. He can't skip anything, and yet sometimes he just doesn't have hardly anything to say. And but the good thing is, he doesn't pretend to say a lot of stuff when he doesn't really have anything. He just has a paragraph here. That's a helpful little paragraph, and you don't get bogged down. Before you know it, you're on to track 11, which is On, which receives 1.5 pages here. And the there is some talk about Jung here. And resilience is a theme the author sees here. Anti-fragility is something the author sees here. This is one of the sections I didn't feel this often. I should say this. I didn't feel very often like the author was just using a song as a springboard to talk about something he's passionate about, some psychological category or some Jungian concept. I got that impression a little bit here. You know, I found myself reading paragraphs thinking, are we still talking about On or something else? And that something else was about something, you know, if you're interested in psychology, the way our mind works, the way our development works typically, you'll find it interesting. And I'll say it again, it's not like you have to put up with it for 3 to 7 pages or something. It's maybe 3 paragraphs at the most. So, but I felt that way a little bit. He uses On as just a springboard to talk about something that's not necessarily BTS related, but more psychology related. But it doesn't last long. And it's still an interesting read. Track 12 is Ugh, one paragraph here. Track 13, 0 o'clock, one paragraph there. I'll say it again. Stein just didn't find much to say about those two songs. I mean, the paragraphs are decently long, and he says some interesting things. Like, here's the first line from Ugh. The song Ugh expresses disgust at people who hide behind masks and direct their anger against others anonymously. Now, if you've never thought much about the lyrics of Ugg and what they might mean. This isn't a nice perspective, and you might come away appreciating a song like Ugg more. But if you went into this thinking, "Oh, I'm really into Jung, I'm really into deep psychological concepts as they're tied in with certain songs," you know, some of these sections you'll just feel like you could have skipped, probably. Track 14 is Inner Child. There's one page there. This is another section, this inner child concept that I feel like I'm going to use the word random. Random meaning like on, I felt like the author, he talks just in a couple sentences about the song, but then before you know it, you feel like you're just listening to a psychologist talk about the concept of inner child and without making many connections to the song itself. So that's another case where I felt like the song was just a springboard to talk about the inner child, which, you know, it's two paragraphs or so on the inner child, so not a lot. It's very readable. You do learn something, just not as much about BTS, probably. Track 15, Friends, gets one page, this song between Jimin and V, very sweet song. The author thinks it's sweet, but didn't have anything to say from a Jungian or psychological perspective. One paragraph for the next track, Moon. A couple paragraphs for track 17, Respect. We Are Bulletproof, The Eternal comes next. Track 18, paragraph there. And then we get to track 19, the outro, Ego. And this talk goes on for 5 pages. So it's the second longest treatment, right behind Shadow in this section. And it's no surprise. It should not be a surprise that you know, persona, shadow, and ego get the lion's share of attention. That just makes sense. And I guess in the end, I'm thankful he didn't go on and on, page after page with these other songs, but just gave us just a little bit to chew on. So I am thankful for that. I'm not complaining about that at all. 5 pages here dealing with ego, outro ego. A lot of Jungian connections here. So many quotes I could read. Outro ego celebrates the moment when we realize I am I. I'm not you. I'm not some other through identification with them. No, I am I. Another quote is, the sense of temporality is a strong part of this song. It is the sense of time passing. I'm here for only a short period of time. In the history of the world, this is ego awareness, the reality of time and finitude. Finitude. The song is an outro in the sense of BTS finishing one stage of life and taking up the next. End quote. Number of references to lyrics in the song here. Quite a few. J-Hope lyrics in the song, time and again here. The last chapter is worth reading most of. I'm sorry, the last paragraph. This is the paragraph that immediately follows talk about the last track. Quote, the album starts with Persona, then moves through Shadow, and ends with Ego. This is not without meaning. This is a carefully structured, well-built album. The songs open at the surface of the psyche and then move inward. They experience the shadow and they end up with a strong ego. And that's the end of the chapter. As far as review, what I would say that I haven't already said, I don't want to reiterate anything I've already said about the author's approach and what I liked about it and what I, you know, I didn't dislike any of it. I just I felt like there was just less for him to say about certain tracks. And thank goodness he didn't force very much on the reader when that did happen. I thoroughly appreciated the overall message of this chapter, especially as someone who's not given to close analysis of BTS songs. Just because I'm a librarian doesn't mean I sit down and I actually think deeply about many of BTS's songs. And yet, that is one of those things the deep messaging and the intentional messaging of BTS songs, I have always appreciated. I just don't take the deep dives into it. And so I need reminders from time to time, like from Dr. Stein, about this messaging, you know, and what makes them special. Why is BTS truly a historic group? It's not just because of the wonderful beats and tunes and choreo of their songs and the videos that accompany them. It's because of this messaging. And this Map of the Soul 7, it's not something the group could have done in 2013, 2014, when they were first starting out. They were too young. They weren't ready to do something like that. The messaging then was different. The messaging with this album just seems so perfect, reflecting how they've grown. And these are young men who don't know just how to write a good song, don't know how to dance a good dance. They know how to think, and especially some of them know how to think, and are well read, at least some of them, and know how to bring that to their craft. And I really appreciated that overall perspective. And certainly appreciated the focus on certain songs, including Microcosmos, and in this chapter, and the special messaging of special songs, which made me realize why they are so special. That's everything for overview and review this week. If you like this podcast, I would always love to have your support. I would love to have you rate this podcast well, which, from what I understand, will help get the word out, help more and more people discover it. But if you want to actually say thank you in some way for this podcast, I would love for you to turn your attention, your thanks, to a group doing wonderful things with books. It's a group called Books for Africa. I have zero ties to Books for Africa. I only appreciate what they do. Their mission is to end the book famine in Africa. That's it. They've been doing it since the late 80s. Their online website is booksforafrica.org, and they have a donate link there. It would just make my day to hear from one of you who listened to the podcast, enjoyed it, decided to give $20 to BFA, and then you send me an email saying, I made a donation in part because I appreciate what you're doing with the podcast. And that's all the thanks I would need, all the encouragement I would need from listeners like you. If you want to correspond in any way, to say something like that, to ask questions, to suggest other books to look at, eventually you can email me at btsbythebook, that's BTSBY, thebook@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find the podcast on Facebook, I should say. There's a Twitter account out there, and every designation across the board will simply be BTS by the book. Please consider purchasing books like Map of the Soul 7. We will eventually get to other chapters from this book. It's very well written. This is written by another academic, like the last book we looked at, who knows how to write for the common person, who knows how to write to the average fan, who may not have a higher education, may not have a PhD, and he just has a good writing style. I think you'll appreciate that too about Dr. Stein's work. Again, the book is called Map of the Soul 7. Can you easily find it online, especially at places like Amazon? Let authors like Stein know that you appreciate books about BTS and not just the albums. I think that's important. That's all for today. Thank you again for being with us. Until next time, this is the BTS Bookworm signing off. Have a great day.